Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Tzadi. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek, the 10th perek of Ksubas, perek Mishahoya. You'll see, of course, the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Tzadi. The issue dealt with has to do with the paying of the ksubos to one's wife, but in this case we're going to be speaking about multiple wives, two wives, and differences between cases where the man dies before the woman or the woman dies before the man. And we'll see a lengthy discussion concerning Ksubas Bonin Dikrin. The Mishnah. Mi shohaya nosui shtei noshim umeis. A man had been married to two wives, and he predeceased them, leaving two almonas. And there is a limited estate, enough to cover the ksuba of only one of the two almonas. Harishona kidemes lishnia, the first one to get married, so she has first grabs at the estate to cover her ksuba. Her ksuba is dated earlier than the ksuba of the second woman, so the earlier date grants her more rights or greater collection power. The Yorshe Harishona Kaidmin Liyorshe Shnia. In the event that the wives, the widows, died after their husband, before they collected their ksubos, so their heirs take over, so that the heirs of the first wife will precede the heirs of the second wife in collecting whatever limited funds were left. Nosa es harishona umesa. A man married a woman, and she died before the husband. Nosa shnia umesu. He then married a second wife, and he predeceased her. The wives, each one of these wives, had children with this man. So you have two sets of children. Shnia v'yorsheha kidmin liyorshe harishona. The second set of children, the second wife and the second set of children, come before the first wife, and, well, she's dead, of course, and come before the yorsheh harishona. When it comes to inheriting the ksuba of their respective mothers, we take a look at Rashi. Nosa rishayna umesa b'chayov. The first woman died in the lifetime of the husband. Nosa shnia umes hu. He married a second woman, and he died before she. V'yorshe harishona boyin v'toivin ksubas bonin dikrin. The heirs of the first wife are coming on the grounds of a special rabbinic enactment that we've learned in the past while learning Maseches Ksubas, called the Ksubas bonin dikrin, which entitles the children of the different wives respectively to be the sole heirs of their mother's ksuba. The mother's ksuba is made up of property that she brought into the marriage, in addition to funds, properties that the husband dedicates toward that woman. So the ksubas bonen dikrin, literally the ksuba that's due to the male children of that woman, is what is of interest here to the Yorshe Horishona, even though she predeceased her husband, and technically speaking, the husband inherits the wife. Nevertheless, the properties that were identified as her ksuba is something that they, the male children, are entitled to, assuming other factors are in place. And Rashi quotes the Gemara, Kemoshe Shaninu, in the Mishnah, Bonin Dikrin Dehavim Lichim Inoy, this was the text that's written into the Ksuba, Oy Roitzim Lachloik Yerusha Savihem, or they want the heirs of the first wife, want to divide the estate left by their father. So the Mishnah says that in a case like that, where the order of events is as we saw in the Mishnah, the second wife and her heirs come before the children of the first wife. And we look at Rashi, we continue with Rashi, Shnia v'yorsheh koivin, shehi ba'alas choiv. The second wife is a ba'alas choiv, meaning she owns the debt that's due to her, namely her ksuba debt. That's a true debt that the husband had toward her. Upon his death, his estate is duty bound. There's a lien on his estate to cover her ksuba. Aval Rishonim, the first woman's children, Boyin Lirash Esavihen, they're coming to inherit their father. They're not inheriting their mother, because when their mother died, the father inherited her. When he died, so the children of the first woman are in effect coming to inherit the father. Da inun yar sintnan. The language in the ksuba referring to the children of the respective women is yarsun. Yarsun is a loshen yerusha, inheritance. Lefikach purin es hachov tchila. So when you have the situation as we described, the two wives, where the second wife dies after the husband, the first matter of business is to pay off the husband's debts. That's the first thing to do. And whatever is left after that in the estate, after the second wife's ksuba is covered, and it's covered by what we call letter of the law, upon his death, a woman was left a widow, and a widow deserves a ksuba. So that's a debt that has to be paid. After that's paid, then whatever's left in the estate is to be divided. The question that we will deal with in the Gemara quite extensively is, in that situation, do the children of the first wife have a claim on their mother's ksuba exclusively? And that those properties would not be divided equally as part of the father's estate. That which is truly the father's estate is, of course, divided equally amongst all of the children. Now the Gemara. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, mivneh heading, which is a topic heading and a structural note. You see Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei Lishonois Ba'Gemorah, two versions in the Gemara. Im Nitan Lahasik Klaul Meha Mishnah. Can we derive a rule from the Mishnah? Shebal Chayiv Me'uchar Shekidim V'Gova Ma Shegova Gova. In the event that you have a person that owes two parties money, one was an earlier debt and the second a later debt. What happens in the event that the person that has the later debt, who, when you're dealing with limited funds, he has to wait, so to speak. He have to pay off the person that had loaned the money earlier. The earlier debt is to be paid off. But what happens if the person carrying the later debt comes to collect before the one with the earlier debt collection. The Gemara. Midikotoni, from the fact that the Mishnah chose the following language, Horishoinu Kidemes Lashnia. But we mentioned that the man who had left two wives, two widows, and there was enough money to cover only one of the ksubas in total, the Mishnah said that the first lady, Kidemes Lashnia, she comes before. Velo Katani, it doesn't say, Harishoina Yeshla Vashnia Inla. It doesn't speak in such concrete terms, such definitive terms as first lady gets, second lady doesn't get. But rather, the Mishnah said first lady comes before the second lady. Michal, this leaves room to deduce, the Ikadma Shnia Vatavsa. Had the second lady pushed her way ahead and grabbed the funds that were there, lo mafkino mina, we wouldn't take it away from her. Shma mina, so shall we conclude, bal chayv meuchar, shekina v'gova, a person having a later debt to collect, but collects it before the fellow who had the earlier debt to collect, ma shegova gova, that which he collected, he keeps. So should we conclude that? The oilame malach ma shegova lo gova. I'll tell you that we're not to conclude that. Umay kidemes, so what do you do with the language of the Mishnah that indicated that the first lady comes before the second lady? And now you're telling me it's an absolute, she comes before, meaning she gets and the second lady doesn't get at all. How do you figure that in the expression kodemus? The Gemara says, ligamri kotani. She comes before in a total fashion, meaning there's nothing for the second lady. Kidisnan. We have the expression kodemus, meaning exclusive, in the following context. Ben kodem labas. In the case of a person who dies leaving children, male and female, it says that the male comes before. Now, that's a bad translation. It means that the ben preempts the bas. She doesn't get anything whatsoever. And if the bas would like grab, we would certainly take it away to give it to the ben, to the son. Now, up till now, we've tried to conclude attempted to conclude in one direction, and now you'll see a second lashon that will approach this from an opposite direction. Iko diamri, a second version. Midalo kotoni, from the fact that the Mishnah does not say im kodmo shniya v'tofsa ein motzi en miyada. If the second lady with the that married later came and grabbed her ksuba before the first lady who had the earlier date, we would not take it away from her. So now it doesn't say that. Michlal, we could infer the kod mashniyah v'tafsa mafkina mina, that if the second lady would have grabbed whatever funds there were, we would take them away from her. So shma mina. So should we conclude, bal chayv meuchar shekina v'gava ma shegava lo gava, that a person carrying a later debt to collect that takes before the individual with the earlier debt to collect, the second party's the later's collection is not a collection, is not going to stay with him. Li'oilam ei malach, I will tell you ma shegava gava. That which a second balchov comes before, grabs in before the first one was paid, we let the second guy keep it. So then, what about the language of the Mishnah? Aidi the Tana, since in the Seifa it said Shnia v'Yorsheha Kidmin liYorshei Harishona, in the Seifa the expression of Kodmin was used. So, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Tononami. Therefore, in the Reisha, the same type of language was used. Tononami, it says also, Horishona Koidemes Lashnia. Before we proceed with this Omud Gemara, there is a introduction that's fairly elaborate that hopefully will enable us to make sense and navigate through this upcoming Gemara. So we have prepared an additional page. I hope you have that available. And at the top it says, Dugma Luxubas Bonin Dikrin Hamakori. We're going to look at the original idea of a Ksubas Bonin Dikrin. We're using arbitrary numbers, but our goal is to illustrate what the original Ksubas Bonin Dikrin Takona enactment was. The idea was, of course, to encourage fathers of women to donate to, or to dedicate, to contribute toward their daughter's marriage generous sums, generous amounts of property, of goods, of whatever. A man, though, when he gives up of his property on behalf of his daughter, is going to be reluctant if he feels that someday down the line the children of a co-wife will end up inheriting that property, so that it would end up leaving his own family and being then enjoyed by others. So in order to preempt that, the rabbis enacted that what a father and a husband give toward a particular wife in the form of her ksuba, that will be inherited exclusively by her own children. Now, that enactment was made under the following circumstances. So we see on our page of introduction, we see an ish, and on either side, an isha aleph, isha beis, two wives, and each wife has a ksuba worth $200. And each wife has a set of children with that man. Isha Aleph has, in our illustration, two sons, and Isha Beis has 10 sons. In addition to the ksubas, we indicate that under the ish, you see Moiser Dino Kaka. There is, he has his own property that's detached from the issue of the ksubas. The man has his own property, his own wealth. Now, we've noted, point one, Shtei HaNoshim Meisu B'chai HaBaal. The two wives, in order to explain the original ksubas Bonin Dikrin, that the two wives died in the lifetime of their husband. He outlived both of them. In effect, when that happens, when they predecease the husband inherits, in this case he inherited both women. So the properties that these women brought into the marriage are then inherited by the man. Under strict laws of inheritance, when that man dies, all of those properties will be divided equally amongst all of his sons. And yet, Ksubas Bonin Dikrin comes and says, not so. Rather, the Ksuba of Isha Aleph will go to her sons. The Ksuba of Isha Beis will go to her sons. And that is because we can carry out the Torah law of Yerusha of equal distribution through the Moser Dino Kaka, through the extra, even small quantity of Kaka, but Dino's worth of Kaka. Dino's a denomination of money. Even with that amount of Kaka, we can carry out the, since it exists as an independent source of property for the husband, it can be it will be the source of of carrying out the laws of Torah Yerusha, Torah inheritance, thereby allowing us to fulfill the spirit of the Ksubas Bon and Dikrin. You can't have a situation of, let's say, the rabbis enacting a law that displaces the Torah vision of inheritance, the Torah vision of inheritance of equal distribution of property amongst all the sons. And this Ksubas Bon and Dikrin, as we are illustrating, is not an equal distribution of that which the man inherited from his wives. So we continue with what we've written, point number two, Achrei Moisaviem, after he dies, Sheishir Shnei Musabonim, in effect he has left 12 sons, Yechalku es Moisur Hadina Karka B'Shova Ben Kol Echad V'Echad. We explained this already. The Moser Dinar, Moser means extra, that which is beyond the Ksubos. The extra dinar of karka will be distributed amongst each one of the sons equally. V'hainu Yerusha Doraisa, through that we fulfill the laws of inheritance as the Torah envisions it. And then B'nei Isha Aleph, Shoyu Lo Shnei Bonim, the sons of Isha Aleph, where there were two sons, Kol Echad Yikabel Mea, each one of the sons will get 100. The ksuba of their mother was valued at 200. Each one will get 100. And B'nei Isha Shnia, B'nei Isha Beis, Shoyula Asora Bonim, she had 10 sons, Kol Echad Yikabel Esrim. Each one will receive 20. Because we're taking 200 and dividing it amongst 10. That'd be 20 apiece. So here you can see a big difference between how much the children of Isha Aleph will be getting as opposed to the amount that each son in Isha Beis would be receiving. Now we don't have this on the chart because we want to keep things simple, but the same idea of an uneven distribution could be if let's say the two women had the same number of sons, but the ksuba of one woman was valued much more than the ksuba of the second woman. So once again, even though they have the same number of sons, the woman with the larger ksuba, each one of those sons will be getting more money than the woman leaving the smaller ksuba. We have another illustration, and we already alluded to this in the Mishnah. We read about this in the Mishnah. It's called Achas B'chayav V'Achas B'moisai. And this is going to be the lion's share of this Omid Gemara. One woman died while leaving the husband alive. She died in his lifetime. And the other woman died after the husband. In other words, the husband predeceased her. And you can see on the chart, we have the man who's married to two women. And the numbers that you see encircled are the order of events, the order of death. The Isha Aleph dies first, then the husband dies. Upon the death of the husband, a widow is left. So there's a debt created that has to be paid because of her being left a widow. She's called, and then she dies. Each woman left a set of sons. So we have that illustrated. Bonim Shel Aleph. And you have Bonim Shel Beis. And we've written as follows. Bonim Shel Isha Beis Mekablim Ksubas Imon Kiyorshim Shela. The sons of Lady Beis received their mother's Ksuba not under the rubric of Ksubas Bon and Dikrin, but simply because they are her heirs, they inherit their mother. The ksuba was a debt that their father had, their father, or meaning the father's estate, had toward her. She was left a widow. So that's a very important point to remember throughout the Gemara, that the collection of the ksuba of Isha Beis, in this case by the Bona Beis, is a collection by letter of the law, not a collection through a rabbinic enactment of ksubas bonin dikrin. The question now is, Haim bonim shel Isha Aleph rashoyim lekabel kol ksubas iman, can the sons of the first lady demand all of their mother's ksuba to be restricted to themselves? Lamros Shoav Yorashosa, even though, technically speaking, the father inherited her. Once the father inherits her, so it becomes his property, and when he dies, it would be distributed equally amongst all the children. So do we say that, nevertheless, the concept of a ksubas bonin dikrin applies here as well? Which, as we said before, that this is not the standard case of ksubas bonin dikrin. The standard case of ksubas bonin dikrin is where there is equality between the two sides. And that we saw before is where both women died before the husband, and the husband inherited them. However, the identity of each woman's ksuba remains intact, so that when he dies, the two sets of children will inherit their mother's ksuba respectively. That's not the case here, though. That's not the case where the husband is inheriting both of them. The husband inherited only the first woman. The second woman, whose ksuba was inherited by her sons, was a letter of the law ksuba inheritance. The ksuba was not paid to the woman, so it's going to have to be paid to the heirs. So our question continues. Or do we say b'nei isha beis yecholim litoin? Can they taina? Can they counterclaim she chelik mehayirusha, that the ksuba of isha aleph is a part of the general estate? V'kulan mechalkim oisa b'shove, and that's to be divided equally amongst all of us. There's a concept of insuye that we'll see in the Gemara, which touches on what we just spoke about. Insuye means come to fighting, come to strife or strain. So we've written the following: Me'achar sheha debnei isha beis einom mekablim ksubas imon ki yerusha me'aviyem. From the fact that the sons of isha beis are receiving the ksuba of their mother not as an inheritance from their father, Elo kiyerusha me'imon, rather as an inheritance from their mother. Haim yesh mokoim lachshoish, is there room to worry, to suspect, she yisnagdu livnei isha aleph lekabel kol ksubas imon, that the sons of isha beis might raise an objection regarding the sons of isha aleph, claiming that the ksuba of their mother is not something they're inheriting from their mother. It's coming through the father. And the sons of Isha Beis would claim, Lomo shatem tekablu yoser meitano birushosav, why should you get more in the father's estate than we get? The next point that we're going to see dealt with in the Gemara is the point concerning the Moser Dinar. We saw Moser Dinar in our first diagram. Over here, we deliberately didn't include Moser Dinar. We have to leave this as an open discussion. Haim, we've written, Haim Tashlum Ksubas Isha Beis. The fact that the Ksuba of Isha Beis is going to be paid off by the estate, can that be nechshav hamosar dinar? Can that be considered the mosar dinar? What will we benefit if we can consider that? In other words, the payment of the father's estate to cover the ksuba of Isha Beis, that's as good as if a mosar dinar, separate dinar's worth of karka, was left. So do we consider the payment of the ksuba of Isha Beis, the Moser Dinar, Kidei Lafsher Kiyum Shel Bonin Dikrin, And if we say that that represents the Moser Dinar, then there's room to carry out the Ksubas Bonedikrin concept. And what would that mean for us? That would mean that the children of Isha Aleph would get their mother's Ksuba exclusively. Me'achashu be'etzem tashlum choivas avihem. From the fact that the Ksuba of Isha Beis is paid off, that is very basically speaking the payment of their father's debts. Oh, lo yamrinon shetashlum choiv nechshav moisur dinar. Or maybe we don't say that the fact that the father's estate is paying off debts, that is considered the extra dinar. Uboinon moisur dinar mamish milva tashlum achoiv. And if you take that approach, then we're saying that in order for Ksubas Bonin Dikrin to take place, you'd have to have a literal dinar extra besides the fact that their father's estate is being used to pay off the debt. So in this introduction, which I hope was clear, we've tried to cover all of the major points that we'll see under discussion in the Gemara. Noso es horishoino. The Mishnah had described the case here of a man who had married a woman, and then she died, and then he married someone else, and then he died. Shma minotlas. We want to conclude from this Mishnah three principles. The triangles that you see are explained on the side under the mivneh, under the structural note. We call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the direction the sugya is taking. The triangle pointing up, nisoyon lahasik gimul maskonis mi mishnasenu, an attempt to derive three conclusions from our Mishnah. The inverted triangle, dechias chilek mehem, a rejection of a couple of them. We'll have numbered 1, 2, and 3. The first set of triangles. The inverted triangles, you'll see, are numbered 1 and 2. They are rejection of the first two attempts to come to a conclusion. The topic, the nose, and in this topic heading we have numbered 1, 2, and 3. We are presenting to you what the Gemara will try to draw as conclusions. So, number one, achas b'chaya v'achas b'moisai, in that model, that case of one woman pre-deceasing the husband and then the husband pre-deceasing the second wife, ha'im gam bozeh tiknu ksubas bonin dikrin. Did the rabbis establish the concept of a ksubas bonin dikrin in this as well, oyrak kishemei sushneim b'chayav, or only when both women predeceased the husband? This we demonstrated on our introduction page just before. Number two, ha'im ksuba nasis moiser lechaverta. In the original model of Ksubas Bonin Dikrin, we indicated that in addition to the Ksubos, there has to be an amount of property called a dinar's worth of property over which the rules of the Torah regarding inheritance will be binding, will be manifest. What about a case where a man has no personal wealth to speak of, other than the fact that when he dies, there is enough money in the estate to pay the ksuba of the second woman? So couldn't we say, and this is the issue the Gemara has to deal with, couldn't we say that the very payment of the debt to the second woman, that is the Moser Diner. That is a fulfillment of the laws of inheritance. Namely, when a man owes money, so we're taking that money which was really his, and all the heirs combined are paying off the debt to the second wife. So that the payment of that ksuba debt is possibly the equivalent of Moser Dinar. Or maybe we don't say that. Maybe we don't look at the paying of debts or the paying of a ksuba debt. And the Gemara will make we'll see a distinction made in the course of the Gemara, general debts or the ksuba debt. Whatever the case is, for right now, can we view that as the Moser Dinar or not? And of course, if you cannot view that as the Moser Dinar, so then there's no ksubas banadikran to speak of whatsoever. And once again, I know we might sound repetitive, but the reason for that is because we cannot activate a din derabbanan of entitling only one set of children to inherit that part of a father's estate which was once their mother's, unless we're going to practice or manifest some aspect of a Torah level law of inheritance, and that of course is equal distribution amongst all the sons. Number three, ksubas bonedikrin lo torfa mimashabdi. In order for the ksubas bonedikrin condition to be paid off, in order for it to be paid off, we don't seek property that was purchased or received from the husband or the father. In other words, ksubas bonedikrin is paid only from those properties that are in the father's reshus, the father's domain, at the point of his demise, not properties that had been used to pay off his debts. Now we turn to the Gemara. Shma minotlas. We're at the second line from the top of Omid Beis, of Tzadi Omid Beis, and we have a long point. The long point shows, will include all three conclusions. Shma mino, we conclude from our Mishnah, achas b'chaya v'achas b'moisoi, yesh lohen ksubas bonedikrin. We entitle the sons of the first wife to receive exclusively the properties that were part of their mother's ksuba. V'lo chayshinon le'insuye, and we don't worry that by giving them their mother's ksuba, that will lead to strife with the sons of the second wife. We pointed out how that could have been a problem when we presented the introduction page beforehand. So we're saying here we're going to allow them to get their ksuba, their mother's ksuba, and not worry about the protest that may have been raised by the second set of sons. Mimai, where do you see this in the Mishnah? Midikatoni, from the fact that the Mishnah says as follows, Shnia v'yorsheha koidmim liyorshe rishona. The second wife, and if she didn't collect the ksuba, then her heirs, they come before the yorshim of the first wife, the heirs of the first woman. And we infer, miktam hu dekadmi, they come before, they get paid before. Ha ika shakli. However, if after the ksuba of the second wife is paid, if there remains value in the estate that corresponds to the first ksuba, they will get as Ksubas Bonin Dikrin. Ushmamina, another conclusion, Ksuba Nasis Moisil Chaverta, that even if there isn't any other personal funds of the father that is left in the estate, other than the ability of the father to pay off the ksuba of the second wife, and then what remains is enough to pay off the ksuba of the children of the first wife, their mother's ksuba, that can be done. Where is the moser dinar? The very fact that the second ksuba was paid off is the moser dinar. The paying off of the father's debts by both sets of yorshim equally constitutes, in your mind's eye, as if they inherited it equally and then paid the second woman or her sons the father's debt. So that is an example, or that's a fulfillment of the Moser Dina requirement. Mimai, how do I know that from our Mishnah? Midalo Kotoni, from the fact that the Mishnah didn't spell out Im Yesha Moser Dina. In other words, our Mishnah was willing to recognize fulfillment or an execution of Ksubas Bonin Dikrin vis-a-vis the first set of heirs without any Moser Dinar expectation. So where was the Moser Dinar? As we said, it was the payment of the Ksuba to the second woman. Ushma Mina Ksubas Bonin Dikrin Lo Torfo Mimashabdi. And the third conclusion is that Ksubas Bonin Dikrin does not draw from property that had been sold before the father's death. The Isaka Daitin Torfo Mimashabdi, if that were a possibility in order to meet the Ksubas Bonin Dikrin clause, let the children of the first wife, who represent Ksubas Bonin Dikrin, and collect whatever was given to the children of the second wife. After all, the date of that Ksuba was prior to the second woman's ksuba, and the if there was that level of urgency in fulfilling Ksubas Bonin Dikrin that would enable them to collect even from Mishabdi, even from lands that had been paid out or given away by their father, so their father paid off. Their father's estate paid off the second ksuba. So let the children from the first ksuba come along and collect that. And yet we don't see that. The Gemara now challenges the points above. Maskif lo Rav Ashi. Notice there's a long dechia, rejection marking. Mimai, who says to conclude what we did? Dilma l'olamei malach, I will tell that in general, achas b'chayev v'achas b'moisoi, ein lohen ksubas bonin dikrin. When you have a situation of one woman predeceasing him and the second woman, the husband predeceased her, we don't activate concept or the practice of Ksubas Bonin Dikrin. Oh my, Kodmin. What then did the word Kodmin mean? Linachlo Kotoni. before we had said that the fact that the Mishnah said that the Shnia v'Yorsheha come before the Yorshi Rishona, that led us to believe that, well, once the Yorshe Shnia get their mother's ksuba as a result of the debt that the father owed to her, so then the first sons get their mother's ksuba. Here we're saying not so. That's not the way to understand it. Rather, koidme means lenachla. We look at Rashi about a little more than halfway down the narrow lines. Koidme lenachla, lo shiyitlu harishonim achreim ksubas imon. Not like we thought that the sons of the first wife then come in to take their mother's ksuba from the estate. Elo yitlu achareim chelkom bamosar kederach cholkei yerusha. All it means is that after the second wife or her sons get the ksuba payment, which is a debt obligation of the father's estate, then they all together, sons of second woman, sons of first woman, then they come together and divide whatever is left equally. So very simply, after the debt to the second woman is paid off, then the first ones come in and get a part, their due part of the estate as regular heirs. V'chiteima, if that's the explanation of the Mishnah, Yorshe HaRishoina Lomali, why are they referred to as the heirs of the first woman? They're not coming in as heirs of the woman, as if they're coming to collect her ksuba. They're coming in as heirs that are equals to the second women's sons. They're all his sons. The Gemara says, "Aidi detana shnia v'yorshel." Since the Mishnah used the term yorsheha, meaning the second woman's heirs, and there they really were her heirs. They were inheriting the ksuba that was paid to her. So, tana nami. Regarding the first one, yorshe harishona, also referring to the first set of sons as if they're her heirs. But they're not really her heirs. They're heirs of the father. Udekoamris ksuba nasis moisu lechaverta. And that which you claim that the ksuba fulfills the role of the moiser dinar, Vilma lioilam emaloch, I would tell you, ein ksuba nasis moisu lechaverta. The ksuba itself can't be the moser dinar. And if you'll ask, well then how was there a havamina to say that there's ksubas bonin dikrin taking place here? Because there was another free moser dinar, free meaning held exclusively by the father, not bound to anything else. Rashi adds importantly that if you'll ask, but the Mishnah doesn't say that there was a moser. How can you say that the Mishnah is talking about a case that there was a moser dinar? So Rashi explains that the very next Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Aleph mentions the Moser Dinar, and therefore within one Mishnah, because even though it's split apart in the Gemara, we view the next Mishnah as a simply continuation of this Mishnah. So once it's mentioned in the Mishnah already, there's no need to have it mentioned twice. We continue in the Gemara with a structural note that accompanies this. You're going to see a crown shape that appears very shortly, and if you continue looking down the page, you see how this crown shape also appears in another direction, and then it straightens up later. So on the side, we call the crown, the use of the crown here is a ma'akav. Nisayon la'amid achas b'chay v'achas b'moysoy k'machoy k'stanoyim. The attempt to set up the case of achas, let's read that note again with the parentheses. The nisayon la'amid achas b'chay v'achas b'moysoy I yesh kan k'subas bonin dikrin. The case of achas b'chayv achas b'moso, whether or not we're going to say that there is a that the subas bonin dikrin applies here as a machloikis tanoyim, and then you'll see at a certain point the Gemara the shape inverts. That's a dechia, rejection of this point. You'll see the use of a dashed underline, where under the first crown, tanoi, that means it's a machloikis. The next time you see that same marking, that dash underline, the Gemara will be saying it's not a machloikis tanoi, but it's rather dekule alma, there is agreement. At the toward the end of the Amid, where Rav Yosef appears, where the next crown marking, the Gemara, at that point, Rav Yosef goes back to say, like the opening of the Gemara here, that in fact it is a machlokas tanoim. The Gemara. V'achas b'chaya v'achas b'moysoi, tanoihi, it is a machlokas tanoim. Do we say that when only one of the wives predeceased the husband, her children will nevertheless be entitled to their mother's ksuba eventually? That is a machlokas tanoim. Desanya. Mesu achas b'chayav achas b'moysoi. The deaths took place, and in that fashion. Ben nanos oimer, yuchaylim b'nei ha-rishayna loimar livnei ha-shnia. The children of the first wife can say to the children of the second one, Atem b'nei balas choivatem. You get your mother's ksuba as a formal payment of debt on the part of father. Tlu ksubas imchem utsu. Take your mother's ksuba and go. Rabbi Akiva oimer kfar kofsanachla. Milfnei b'nei harishoina v'nofla lifnei b'nei hashnia. The nachla, the inheritance, has jumped from in front of the first wife's children and fallen in front of the second wife's children. That's as far as a literal translation is concerned. The Rashi, to appreciate we're dealing with the Havamina right now, we look in Rashi under the Gemara text, the sixth wide line. Rabbi Kiva Oimer Kvar Kofza Nachla Mishosh Shemei Sabal B'chayeha Shel Shnia. When the husband died in the lifetime of the second wife, Kofza Nachlas Bonindichu Lufnei B'nei Harishona. The possibility of inheriting their mother's ksuba, namely the first wife's children's ksuba, the ksuba of that first wife, jumps away from them, from her children. So now the Gemara, my lav behokum iflegi. Is it not so that the machloikis between Tanakam and Rabbi Kiva is as follows? Demor sovar achas b'chayv achas b'moysu yeshlam ksubas bonin dikrin. That the Tanakam holds that the children of the first wife are entitled to receive their mother's ksuba from the father's estate. Umor sovar, and Rabbi Kiva holds achas b'chayv achas b'moysa ein lem ksubas bonin dikrin. So if we were to stop here, we would say that the issue of the application of ksubas bonin dikrin in the case of achas b'chayv achas b'moysa as well, this is a machlokes tanoyim. Omar Rabba. Ashkachtinu l'rabbonan debei rav. Rabba says, I met up with the students of the yeshiva, di asvi v'ko amri And they were saying, the kule almo, achas b'chayv, achas b'moisoi, yesh lohen ksubas bonin tikrin. I want to point out just a detail. When you see this structure of the Yasvi v'kamri, what the Rav says, in this case, Rabba says, I found them saying, you'll almost inevitably find his response. And you'll see that here, but if you just look at the markings, there's a squiggle underline phrase, beis, a few lines from now, it says, v'amino lo ano, he responds to them. But before we get to that, we have a bracketed section in which that beis actually appears. The reason for these brackets was explained on the side. Achrei hasograyim, Rav Yosef maskif umare, Rav Yosef attacks and he shows she'i efshaloyma, that you can't say shekule almo kolel Rabbi Akiva, that everyone, including Rabbi Akiva, achas b'chayv achas b'moso yesh ksubas bonin dikrin. That cannot be said. B'socha sograyim, muva, within the brackets, that means before we get to Rav Yosef's attack, we have to deal with, well, the Gemara will have dealt with the following. B'mai chulkin tanakamo verbikiva me'achar she rabbonin debei rav omru shelo chulkin be'achas b'chayev, achas b'moso. So once the rabbonin that Rabba had met with say that the achas b'chayev, achas b'moso, Ksubas bon and dikrin issue is not the machlokas, and then what is the machlokas? So that's what will be dealt with within the bracketed section. As we said, though, after the brackets, Rav Yosef says to their approach, to make it as if everyone is in agreement that achas b'chayv achas b'moso, there is ksubas bon and dikrin, that's untenable. Now that we've mapped out the Gemara, we go through the bracketed section. So once the Rabbonin Debei Rav said that the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva are in agreement that there is Ksubas Bonin Dikrin in this case, but what are they arguing about? V'hacha b'ksuba nasis moysu l'chaver tevu adin l'balchov kol miflegi. Can we say that the ksuba of the second wife, or a debt to an outsider? And now, note, in the Gemara markings, we try to be very detailed, very careful, and try to say grant meaning to each marking. And here, the numbers are important. You see that. We make reference to the ksuba as number one, and hu adin lebalchov, other debts as well. Can these be viewed as the mosar, as the mosar dinar? Mor sovar, the Tanakama will tell you, ksuba nasis moisa lechaverta hu adin lebalchov, the father's estate being used to pay off the second wife's ksuba, or the father's estate being used to pay off an outside creditor, that counts as ksuba, as the moser dinar. Because, as we explained earlier, it's in your mind's eye, it's before the debt is paid off, it's money that is in the father's estate, and the heirs all together are jointly paying off their father's debt with those funds. So, In a manner of speaking, we could say a virtual inheritance took place, which is the Torah's expectation. We don't want to totally ignore or deny a Torah form of Yerusha, of inheritance. So the Torah Yerusha is manifest here in the paying off of the ksuba and or another debt. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Umor Savar, and Rabbi Akiva will tell you, Ein Ksuba Nasis Moisa Lechaverta Vuadin Lebalchov. And Rabbi Akiva says, not so. We can't say, we will not say that the Ksuba and an outside Chov are viewed as paying, are viewed as the Moisir Dinar. This presentation was the presentation of those that Rabbah had encountered. V'aminu leho ano, and now Rabbah says, I said back to them, Bebalchoiv kule almalo pligi dahavi mosar. As far as the father's estate being used to pay an outside creditor, that will constitute the Mosu Dinar according to everybody, meaning the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva. They would agree on that. Ki pligi b'ksuba. That's why we had numbered before the 1 and 2, indicating the ksuba is one entity and the Baal Chov is another entity, even though up till now they were taught together. You saw them in the context of the phrase vuadin and likewise. But here, Rabbah is saying, no, there's a split. When it comes to the payment of a Baal Chov of the fathers, everyone agrees that that would constitute the Moser Dinar. The Rashi explains on the wide lines. We see Rashi, let's read it together. The Baal Chov kule alma lo pligi dahavi Moser, hayol vashtar yotze al kulam. Since the creditor is producing a bill of collection against all of the heirs, the sons of woman Aleph, the sons of woman Beis, Nimtsu Kulam Porin, turns out that everyone is paying out. V'hi Nachlo Shalahen She'asu Bo'en Mitzvos Priyas Chov Aviyem. As we explained earlier, it's then as if they first inherited that, and then they are fulfilling the mitzvah with that which they inherited, which is a Torah inheritance. They are then fulfilling the mitzvah of paying off their father's debts. Rashi goes on, Ki pligi b'ksuba, b'yachas b'chaya v'yachas b'moysa sh'ashir choyvi, pligi, where they have this situation of achas b'chaya v'achas b'moysa, and the second woman's ksuba is being paid off, there you have a machlekes. Benanas sova harezu kishar chov avi mosar. As far as Benanas is concerned, there is no difference between paying an outside debt that the father owed or paying the father's debt to the ksuba. So it constitutes the mosar, the moser diner. For Bekiva sovar lav kishar chov domi, the payment of the second woman's ksuba is not like a standard debt. Kevon de'inu gufayu koshakli, since the sons of the second wife are themselves in a receiver's position, they are taking, they are getting those funds. Vilko chanoch b'nei shnia mikablin v'lo porin. They're receivers, not payers. They're paying out. Nimsa she'en kanachlo de'raisa, since they're not functioning in an equal capacity with the sons of the first, so that's not Nachla Doraisav lo iskin yushas bonin dikrin derabonon lemeakar Nachla Doraisav. And as we've repeated many times today, here you see Rashi saying it, that the enactment of Ksubas bonin dikrin was not made to preempt the Torah's concept of inheritance, but rather, if you can manifest a Torah form of inheritance in some way, then we can allow the rabbinic Ksubas Bonin Dikrin to move in as well. We continue in the Gemara. Maskif Law Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, he attacks this approach, the approach that was started since Rabbah's comment. If it's so that they are arguing only concerning the issue of Moser Dinner, what's considered Moser Dinner, then the language of the Braisa above simply doesn't reflect that. In the Braisa above, Rabbi Kiva Oimer Kvar Koftsa Nachla. That was what Rabbi Kiva's expression was. But if he's coming to argue concerning matters of Moiser Diner, he should have said, Im Yesh Moiser Diner, Mi Boya Lei. If you're going to present Rabbi Akiva as being less willing to accept the presence of Moiser Diner, so it should have said that Rabbi Akiva is saying to the Tanakama, if there is a real Moiser Diner. That's not what he said. So, Elo Omer of Yosef, Bachas Mechai, Bachas Mimoso, Kumifligi, rather as we saw before Rabbo entered the picture, that in fact is the point of Machlokas. Do we say that there's Ksubas Bon and Dikrin in a case of Achas Mechai, Achas Bemoso? Rabbi Tanakama is saying yes, and Rabbi Kiva is saying no. And now we continue with of course, the same topic, but with another twist, another trend, and we have a new marking, a house marking. You can see on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading, Nisayon Shel Rav Yosef. This is an attempt on the part of Rav Yosef, Lahamid Oid Machloikis Tanoim Beinyan Achas B'chayev Achas B'moso. In other words, according to Rav Yosef, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Kiva argued concerning Bon and Dikrin under these circumstances. There's another set of Tanoim that argue over this issue. The house shape, as you can see, appears in another direction, and that's at the bottom line. You can see it's inverted. That is a dechia, a rejection. Okay, granted that you hold that it's according to the rejection, the machlokas in the Braisa that the Gemara will cite is not over Achas B'chayv Achas B'moso, so what are they arguing about? So you see the diamond and the double underline. These markings demonstrate Hesberim L'machlokas Tanakama over Rav Shimon, different attempts at explaining what they were arguing about. So before we get to the rejection, in fact, that was their machlokas. So that would be the first explanation of the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, who will appear in the source that we haven't read yet. But when you get to Amud Beis, when you get to Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, the next Amud of Gemara, you can see that this marking scheme continues. The double underline representing each time the suggestion as to what they are arguing about. We'll get up to a fifth stage of presentation or of explanation what they're arguing about. So now we continue in the Gemara text. The first house is accompanied also with a long point marking. Fahani tanoi kihani tanoi. The machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva that we saw above, and according to Rav Yosef, they were arguing concerning the presence of Ksubas Bon and Dikrin under these circumstances of Achas B'chai V'Achas B'moisoi, is the subject of the machlokas of the following tanoim as well, Desanya. Nosos Rishona Umesa, Nosos Ashnia Umesu, Boyin Boneo Shelzu, Liachar Misa, Venoitlin Ksubas Imon. The thinking right now is that the sons of the second woman come and they take as a payment of debt their mother's Ksuba. But as far as the children of the first woman, there's no ksuba paid to them, because the Tanakhama will be of the opinion that achas b'chayv achas b'moso, no ksubas bon and dikrin. Rav Shimon Oimer, im yesh moiser diner, elu notlin ksubas imon, v'elu notlin ksubas imon. If there's a moiser diner, so even though it's a case of achas b'chai v'achas b'moisai, there is ksubas bonin dikrin for the children from the first wife. V'im lav, and if there's no mosu dinner, then cholkin b'shaveh. Then after the ksuba of the second woman is paid off, whatever is left is divided equally amongst all of the sons. My love, is it not so that the machlokis is over this very matter of achas b'chai v'achas b'moso? The more sover achas b'chai v'achas b'moso yeshlein ksubas bonin dikrin, that would be Rebbe Shimon, and umor sover, the Tanakam will tell you achas b'chai v'achas b'moso ein lohem ksubas bonin dikrin. The Gemara says, lo, that's not the machlokas. The kulei alma, as far as the Tanoim in this source, they will be in agreement. Achas b'chai v'achas b'moiso, yesh lohen ksubas bonin dikrin. So then, if that's true, the Gemara continues at the top of Tzadi Aleph, Omer Aleph, v'hocho bediner mekarkoi kumiflegi. And the point of difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon is the Moser Dinar, must it be in the form of land? Mor Sovar Mekakoyin Metatli Lo. The Tanakama will say only if it's in land, not in portables. Mor Sovar Afilu Metatli. And Rabbi Shimon will say even if it's in the form of portables, including cash, for example. Rashi at the top, but dinner mekarkoi komifli, e boinana hu moiser shie sham shtei ksubos v'dinner mekarkois. Do we require that mosar that be there is the two ksubos and a dinar of karka? V'ocha b'deleka moiser dinner elementatali. What you have in this estate is the amount, the value of the two ksubas, plus a dinner of portables. Mishum hachi, omar tanakama, the ein b'nei rishayna notlim. And it's for that reason that the sons of the first wife were excluded or were rejected in receiving their mother's ksuba exclusively. V'yosir b'shimin l'meymar hoyol v'yesh moiser dinner kolduhu shakli. As long as there's some moser diner, even if it's portables, the sons of the first woman will still be entitled to be the exclusive receivers of their mother's ksuba. The Gemara challenges this. Third line from the top. Umi motzis amrus hachi. Can you say that according to Reb Shimon, he will be the opinion that says that Metaltalin is the Mosar? V'hotnan, in the next Mishnah, the following appears. Reb Shimon Oimer, afilu yesham nechosim she'en lohem achrayas. This expression, nechosim she'en achrayas, for our purposes means metaltalin, portables. So he's saying that even if there are portables, ain on klum, they're of no value, I said of no value means of no value in terms of enabling ksubas bonin dikrin to take place until you have nechosim sheyesh lehem achrayas. That's a phrase referring to real estate that's worth more than the value of the two ksubas by a dinner. So then, if we reject number two as an explanation of the Machloikis Tanayim, so what are they arguing about? What is the Tanakam and Reb Shimon in fact arguing about? Elohocha bediner mishabdi komifligi. We've spoken about this as well. What's mishabdi? The mishabdi is a reference to property that was used to pay off the father's debts. More sovar mi bnei chorinin mi mishabdi lo. The Tanakam will say that only if there is money that's held by the father and not property that had been sold by the father or used to pay off his debts, only then can we say you have moser dinner. More sovar afilu mi mishabdi. Even properties that were used to pay off the father's debts would be sufficient for us considering that as the Moser Dinar. The Gemara challenges this, though. E hachi, if this be the case that Reb Shimon is coming to be lenient in favor of enabling Ksubas Bon and Dikrin to take place, then the language that you find in the Brisa on the Tzadi Yom Beis, we have a little star, by the way, to help you find which part we're referring to, then the language doesn't reflect Reb Shimon's being the Mekil. E hachi, Reb Shimon Oimer, im yesha moiser dinner. It should have said, kevon sheyesha moiser dinner miboyale. You see in Rashi, you'll see, he uses the word, hoyol v'yesha moiser dinner, but it's, for our purpose, it's the same thing. Since there's a moiser dinner, would have been the more accurate expression if Reb Shimon, in fact, was like you just presented him as being the Mekil. Ela, stage 4, bepochos midiner komiflagi. We say that there has to be leftover property besides the ksubos in order for us to enact the ksubos bon and dikrin. How much has to be left over? So we're going to see now. It could be even less than a dinar amount of property. Dinar being a certain amount of money, a certain value. What about less than that? Tana, the more sovar, dinar in pochus mi dinar lo. The Tanakama will tell you only if it's a full dinar's worth of property, not less than that. Umor sovar, filu pochus mi dinar, even less than a dinar. The Gemara asks, Vahar Rabbi Shimon, dinar ka'amar. Rabbi Shimon said, a dinar. He said, "Im yesham moiser dinner, not less." V'chitema epuch. And if you suggest switch the shittas around, meaning that the Tanakama will hold that you can have even less than a dinar, but that's impossible. You can't make the Tanakama say something that he doesn't hold from. Tanakama demasni sinami dinar komar. The Tanakama of the next Mishnah, who is also the Tanakama of the Braisa, requires a dinar. So, suggestion number 4 is out of the question. There's no, we don't see between the Tanakama of Shimon anyone who's going to accept less than a dinar. Elo. So stage 5 is really a throwback to stage 2 and 3. The problem in stage 2 and 3 is that Reb Shimon had been presented as the lenient one, and the language of Reb Shimon indicated to the contrary. So, Elo ki hanoch trei lishnoi, the explanation of the machloikis tanakam of Reb Shimon will be like suggestions 2 or 3, fi'epuch, and whatever we had said for the Tanakama, you say for Reb Shimon, and whatever we said for Reb Shimon, you'll say that as the Tanakama. So that in suggestion 2, the machlokus would have been over, can metatlin be considered the mosar? And then Reb Shimon would be saying no, and the Tanakama saying yes. Tanakama being more Mekil. In suggestion 3, what about collecting from Mishubadim in order to pay the Ksubas Bon and Dikrin? Mishubadim property that was sold or that the father had used to pay off debts, is that considered property from the father's estate used to pay off his debts, is that considered Mosar? So once again, the Tanakama would say that even Mishubadim, those properties used to pay off the father's debts, is considered the Moser Dinar, and Reb Shimon would say no. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Morzutro Mishmei Derav Papa Hilchisa Achas B'chay V'achas B'moisoy Yesh Lohem Ksubas Bon and Dikrin. And a second ruling, Uksuba Nasis Moisor L'chaverta. The Gemara will now analyze, do I really need to have both of these Piske Halacha, or could it not be that by having stated one of them, I could have figured out the other? So the Gemara now starts with a long question and then followed by a long answer. The question is as follows. Bishlamo Yashmin and Achas B'chai V'achas B'moisei Yishlein K'suaz Bon and Dikrin. Had we been told just that Halacha, the Aleph Halacha, Velo Ashmeinen, and not been told Ksuba Nasis Moisel Chaverta, that the Ksuba payment to the second wife is enough to be the Moisel Dinner, Have Amina, I would have thought that as far as Achas B'chai V'Achas B'Moisel, there's Ksuba's Bon and Dikr, and I would have thought Iko Moisel Dinner in, if there's an actual Moser Dinar, then yes, then there would be Bon and Dikrin. Elo, if there isn't a separate actual Dinar, then lo. So had I taught just Halacha Aleph, I wouldn't have known anything about Halacha Beis. Elo, however, my question is, Lishaminon, teach me Halacha Beis, that Ksuba Nasis Moisa L'Chaverta, that the payment of the Ksuba to the second woman who died after the husband, the paying off of her Ksuba is a fulfillment of Moiser Dinner. And if you tell me that information, V'ano Yodano, Mishum Dachas B'chai V'achas B'moisi Yeshlem Ksubas Bon and Dikrin. If you're going to talk about the payment of the second woman's ksuba as constituting the Moser Dinner, what does that reflect? That reflects that in a case of Achas B'chai V'achas B'moso, we will be paying Ksubas Bon and Dikrin. So why were both Piske Halacha cited? Would it not have been enough for Marzutra simply to say that Ksuba Nasis Moisel Chaverta, and I would have figured out Halacha Aleph? The Gemara answers that that's not so. E Ashmeinen Hochi, had I taught that Ksuba Nasis Moisel Chaverta alone, Have Amina, I would have thought that has application, has ramification in the following scenario. Kigon Shinosa Shalosh Noshim. A man had been married to three wives. Umesu Shtayim Bechayov V'Achas V'Moso. Two of them predeceased the husband, and one after his death. One died only after he did. V'Hach Demayis Le'achar Miso Yeletis Nekevahi V'Lav Bas Yerushihi. And the third wife, she had a daughter. She had no sons. And as such, she is not in the line of inheritance when there are brothers. We take a look at Rashi, the Lav Bas Yerusha, Rashi across from here. Being that she's not in the line of inheritance when they're brothers, there's no feuding that's going to take place. She has no claim on her father's properties other than seeing to it that her mother's ksuba is paid off, which she will receive. She's her mother's sole heiress. The children of the first two wives are males. Uboyim Lirash, they are coming to inherit. Yesh bem ksubas bonin, ksubas imon gedolo mishel chaverta. One set of sons will, in fact, get more than the other. The omrim tlu ksubas imchem kibonin dikrin, vanu nito ksubas imenu. There you'll have this unequal distribution of father's estate in order to cover the Ksubas Bon and Dikrin requirements of woman A and woman B. V'i mishum deleka moiser dinar, hare poranu ben shneinu ad ksubas shlishes. And if you'll say, well, there's no moiser dinar, that's not so. We, the sons of woman Aleph, the sons of woman Beis, between the two of us, we paid off haksuba hashlishes vinasis moisar v'shtayim shebachayav. The payment of the ksuba to the third woman or her daughter, that is a fulfillment of the moser dinar, in order to enable the two women, this two sets of sons of the first two women to receive the bon and dikrin. Umarivo enkan, there's no basis of any strife here. The elu v'elu b'toras bon and dikrin dotlin maksubos. Both children of Mrs. Aleph, children of Mrs. Beis, are receiving their respective ksubos under the same context, within the rubric of ksubas bon and dikrin. V'zush not lo mishum chov. And the girl who is the sole heiress of woman number three that was received the payment as a payment of a debt of their father's, ain lo lariv, she has no reason to argue. Shere eino yoreshes shetuchalom ratem yorshim aksubos yeser al achaluka. She can't come to them with some kind of claim. Hey, you're receiving the ksubas more than above and beyond the distribution of the equal distribution of his estate. We turn back to the Gemara. We said that you can't, if we would have taught just the halacha of ksuba, nasis, mosel chaverta, I wouldn't have known that achas b'chayev, achas b'moisoi, there's ksubas bon and dikrin. Because if I were taught just that ksuba nasis moisel chaverta, I would have thought that's talking about the case of the three women that we just described. Avol, the Gemara continues, achas b'chayv, achas b'moso, if you have just two women and one predeceased husband and the one died after him, v'hod l'achar misa, you let a zohar he, and the woman that died after the husband happened to have a male child, Amo, I would have thought that, you know what, we're not going to have any bon and dikrin taking place here, because lechush l'nsiye, we should concern ourselves with feuding. Therefore, komash malon, therefore it had to be, din aleph had to be taught, that achas b'chayev, achas b'moso, there, yes, there is going to be ksubas bon and dikrin, and we're not worried about that potential feud. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.